Hello, and welcome to our listeners, and thank you for spending some of your valuable time with us today. I want to begin by thanking our amazing team that helps produce this podcast, Courtney Lozano and Lizette Yanez in Marketing and Communications, and Jackson Floyd, our star producer and editor. They are truly our A-team. So season three of Ripples. We're going to shake things up a bit and focus on an important feature of resident training and medicine in general, and that's compassion for self, others, and society. And during that time, we want to share our 3 years of experience in the creation and delivery of our institutional compassion course for residents and fellows, and some of the data that has come from our participants. But before that, we need to credit Life University in Marietta, Georgia, for their Compassion Integrity Program, which has served for a structure and foundation of this program, and which we use with permission. And we're also indebted to Mayor Ron Nuremberg for his vision in transforming San Antonio into a compassionate city and his support for sponsoring the CIT program for educators across the city. I'm joined today by our two co-hosts, Dr. Adriana Dierich and Veena Prasad. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Dr. Coran. We are so excited for this season.
Indeed.
Yeah, and this is a big deal. We're not only talking about a program that we have put together for 3 years, Dr. Coran at the head of the program, but also San Antonio, the whole city, as a compassionate city, which it's has really been neat. A big effort that, you know, from the mayor's office to make us into that. So I want to start with asking you, John, why compassion and why a whole season?
that's the question, actually. We know that physicians that use a compassionate approach, their patients have better outcomes. We know that they have higher satisfaction. We know that they're more compliant with treatment plans, both in the hospital and outside of the hospital. And finally, a reduction of malpractice risk for the physicians. And if that wasn't enough, we know it's a factor in reducing burnout and also providing increased meaning in medicine for those people. So it's really many wonderful things wrapped into one.
Oh, wonderful.
And I hear you, John, talking about all the benefits of using compassion in our daily practice for our patients, for our teams, but also for ourselves. And it makes me think compassion is such an old concept. In Spanish, when we talk about compassion, it comes from Latin. Com means company, you know, coming together is the togetherness of doing with somebody. Mm-hmm. And passion comes from feeling, from emotion. So compassion really means deep inside feeling with you. What an amazing way to see what we do every day. And what an amazing way for physicians to also connect to their patients. And of course, we're going to talk a lot about compassion and all the different facets and how to protect yourself and care for yourself in the process. But of course, this is a beautiful thing to talk about.
Indeed. I cannot but quote Dalai Lama. He talks about this. Many of these things started with Dalai Lama's vision, right? He talks about if you want to be happy, show compassion to others. If you want to be happy about yourself, show compassion to yourself. So he talks about compassion to us and others. And this is truly connecting values, what our physicians are striving to achieve, and also show self-compassion. Perfect way of addressing this, John.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a beautiful segue, Veena, into something that we've found. So we've had three cohorts so far, almost 45 residents that have taken the course over the past 3 years. And what's interesting is we do a pre-survey and we found that our residents actually have a lower than average level of self-compassion than a national average for all comers who take the Christian Neff's self-compassion instrument, which is kind of the gold standard. And we found that those that complete the course, we found that they end up having a much higher level, statistically significant higher level of self-compassion at the end of the course. And so the question will be, well, why is that important? I mean, maybe that's nice, but it turns out to be important because those with higher levels of self-compassion tend to have less issues with imposter syndrome and less issues with shame and guilt over negative patient outcomes. Oftentimes, issues beyond even the control of the resident. So it's very important.
Yes. Wow, imposter syndrome. If we're going to talk about issues that the residents have to face, residents, faculty, attendings,
all of us, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I was talking to a resident recently who was just describing all the symptoms of imposter syndrome. And I was telling this person, yes, we all feel it is so common in residents. And this person, the first thing said, it's not only me. And I'm like, no, it's not only you. And that's how we have to start when we can feel compassion and then self-compassion. We can start understanding how other people feel in many ways similar to us. And when they are not responding similarly, we still can have that capacity to feel with them as if we were in their shoes and know how I would respond to things.
Yes. There's a beautiful word called karuna that is showing compassion. So when you show compassion to someone, when they're talking about the imposter syndrome, we say, I have felt it too. Immediately they connect and say, when did you feel it? And then that's a starting point. And we see that with residents. Yes. And there are times I have felt that, am I able to help this resident or support this resident? So they see that. So it is so important.
Because it is common. I don't even think we went into explaining what imposter syndrome is, but it's this feeling that I shouldn't be here, that I'm not prepared, that I'm the one that doesn't know. I hear that a lot. Yes. Everybody knows what they're doing but me.
Yes.
And that is usually just this big sense of shame and disconnection with what you actually know. And it has a lot to do with self-compassion. That's why I think you're mentioning how important it is to increase the levels of self-compassion, not only compassion.
Yeah, and it also shows self-humility in the sense it opens doors to learning.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? So that's what we strive with our residents.
Yeah, and imposter syndrome in a sense closes that door.
Exactly.
Because you feel like you're not worthy, you don't belong. Yes. So it's a critical issue.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also see that when we get stuck in one thing, it's so hard to move on and do a good job with the next one. So I can only imagine with any difficult outcome that might come into your clinical work or anything like that, if we are not able to be self-compassionate and compassionate and process what happened, learn from the experience and move to the next one, then it's not only the issue with that event, is what might come later because I'm still feeling
in
you're stuck in the past.
It comes so naturally. If we keep moving, then we are opening doors to more learning.
Yes.
So John, we seem to have big plans of combining talking about compassion, which has history of thousands of years of in the earliest writings of ethical, moral and religious traditions in and also spiritual traditions.
Sure.
Right? So we want to put the, all that in about, what, 8 episodes? And I would really like to hear your plans.
So, yeah. So certainly that was going to be a challenge that we thought and talked about. You know, certainly we all knew that we weren't going to be able to take a deep dive into this topic. Our course itself runs over 10 months. But what we hoped was that these podcasts could help raise awareness and stimulate curiosity in our listeners. And hopefully some of them may choose to embark on their own journey of discovery in this topic, empathy, compassion, and how it may benefit their lives. So that's really our hope. Sure. You know, the 8 episodes that we're planning, you know, they're going to follow the basic structure of our course, you know, divided into domains of self, other, and society. You know, we're going to touch on some of the more important concepts, but we also want to share some tools and practices that we think will be valuable for those listening. And we're going to be inviting our module directors, the people that actually help run our course, to be our guests throughout the season. And, you know, we may have a surprise or two of some other visitors that will come. So stay tuned.
This is big. This is big, Dr. Curran, because you put together a whole course, 8 modules that I think go over
10 months.
And now you're offering this to our audience with the same module leaders, and you're even having surprise guests.
We hope.
Yes, yeah. We hope.
They can listen to it on their way from work to home.
Yeah.
And in a way, you're offering ripples, and they can put it on the waves and waves of compassion everywhere.
That would be wonderful.
Yes.
That would be wonderful.
Oh, how nice.
Today, we're going to start with what we would normally use as our first module of the self domain. And I really want to invite Adriana and Vina to talk a little bit about the process of kind of gaining control of a very busy, sometimes stressed and chaotic mind, and the kind of the techniques that we use to try to do that.
For our compassion course, we talk often about grounding, tracking, and resourcing. And these are three techniques and strategies that we can use to be with ourselves, to be present. Vina, I know you know a lot about that. What do you think is the importance of these three techniques?
Yeah, these three aspects, we can use at any time, anywhere,
yes,
and just in between patients. Sometimes you just need ourselves to ground for a minute and resource and track or how we feel.
Yes.
So just to say, resourcing is a way bringing our mind to reach out to a resource that always has helped us, and intensifying it so it can help us with our regulating nervous system, right?
Yes.
So small techniques, the three as we do together, will kind of help us set ourselves to regulate our nervous system and keep moving.
Yes. And what I recommend our listeners, and it's one thing that I do, they are a little bit different each. So grounding is about feeling that you are, they're very self-explanatory,
right. Yes.
That you are grounded, that you are present here, that you are connected to, you know, our foundation. And it can be very helpful when you feel all over the place, when
yes.
you feel that you cannot concentrate on this because you are thinking about 2,000 things at a time. Tracking, again, very self-explanatory, mm-hmm. has to do with tracking how you feel, the sensations, the emotions that you are experiencing in the moment.
In your body and in your mind.
And in your mind,
then
yes.
That's a way to connect to resourcing. Where do we get to resource? What is my resource? Right?
Exactly.
Perfectly said,
Adriana. They are all connected. We can use them separately as we need them. Sometimes we know which one would be the most helpful yes. in the moment. We can use them all together.
Yeah, when we share this with our residents, we find that depending on the resident, some mm-hmm. say, this worked really well for me, and I really like to use this, but this didn't help me. And so a lot of these techniques are really for you to try, and some may work for you, some may not. So you get to really pick and choose mm-hmm. what works best for you, but we give them all as an example.
Yes.
And they can build on those.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember for tracking, I was leading a group one time, and I was leading them into a mindfulness exercise, tracking exercise. And one person said, I don't like to do mindfulness because every time I do, I notice that my pants are tight or I'm cold or... And I was like, that's exactly why we do it. That's tracking
yes.
at its best. We need to connect with how we are feeling, what we're thinking, what we're sensing in the moment. And later, if there are changes that we need to make, you know, sometimes it's just, ooh, these shoes are a little too tight. Take off the shoes. Your life improves immediately.
Yes. that person was in present moment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And... He or she was already grounded
yeah.
in what they were
yeah.
talking about.
I mean, I like to think about it as sometimes I'm feeling really, tense, and, you know, I may be achy or shaking, and I'm able to sit back and say, I'm stressed. This is how stress feels, or my stomach yeah. hurts, or I have a headache. This is what stress means for me. And then I can begin to say, well, why am I stressed? And then I can focus on resolving that.
Yes.
And otherwise, I would have just gone the whole day with a headache or a stomach ache and not really understood.
Sure.
Yes.
So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the most important thing about these techniques is how to put them into practice. And I want to invite our audience now to listen to our pebbles. We've been doing this for every season. We want to leave you with a little pebble a little call to action that then you can put into practice.
Yes.
And we are going to give you exercises for each of these three techniques: grounding, tracking, and resourcing.
So for grounding, which is one that I share often with our residents and fellows, this is maybe the easiest of all three of these techniques. And so I ask them to sit in a chair with their feet flat on the floor and imagine that the earth itself is pushing up underneath their feet. Feel the weight of your body, the weight of your feet on the earth, and that the earth is actually pushing back against your feet. Feel the firmness of the chair against your back. And so you're kind of grounded. You have a foundation. And so you don't feel unsteady or unstable. And then another technique you can add on top of grounding is to, if you can, feel how fast your heart's beating. Maybe you can measure your pulse or see what your pulse is on your...
Can we do it, John? Can we do it together a little bit? Feel the pulse?
Yeah. So, I mean, in this case, you could just put your finger on your wrist and you feel your pulse. Count it for, say, 30 seconds. And then double that, and that's your pulse per minute. And then take 5 minutes and just feel grounded, feel your breath, and you'll be surprised that at the end of that 5 minutes, if you then remeasure your pulse, about 80% of people have a decrease of almost 10 points in their pulse. Wow. With just that simple exercise. And think about decreasing your pulse 10 points. That's a huge decrease in your stress. Yes. And an increase in your stability and your...
And
calmness.
Suddenly your parasympathetic system is working, yeah. And you're more relaxed. You're focusing more.
Absolutely.
At the present moment.
And I think we've done it again. We did it for the yoga episode, and it just happened again that the moment that we connect with that, our tones slow down
also
a little
slow down.
Bit. Yes. You can tell the difference.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful.
So, Adriana, you can talk about
tracking.
Tracking
I'd
now,
love to do that.
Yeah. Give us that. Experience.
And I'm going to, you know, jump into what you were saying. Just start tracking with being with yourself for a second. It's easier if you're sitting down or in a place that is quiet, but you can definitely do it anytime, in line, driving. And I just invite you to pay attention to your emotions, your sensations, and your thoughts. And you can do them separately or you can do them all together. I'm going to invite you to do it now with me, and I'm going to invite you to pay attention to your sensations. And that might mean the temperature in the room, the clothes that you have on, if there's any pain, any discomfort, any area of your body that might be tense. We sometimes walk around with tension and we don't even realize. And there's no need for judgment. It's just realizing. If in the process of tracking, you realize, I've been walking around with tension in my shoulder and you want to just relax and let go, perfect. Now we have achieved some of what we were looking for. But same with feelings, emotions, thoughts. Sometimes we don't realize that we've been thinking about something and we're stuck in a thought pattern. And the moment that we stop and we try to clear our mind and we allow the thought to show up, we can then decide, is this a thought that I want to continue having? Can I stop it? Can I put it up for later, put a pin on it and come back to it later on?
Yes. Yes.
So tracking is about literally just that. Track how you're feeling, your physical body, your mental body, your spiritual body.
Yes, absolutely. That was great.
Thank you, Vina. And we're...
Yeah, now...
Closing with your...
Resource.
Yes, technique.
So a resource can be... We can start finding resource. For example, in my case, let all of us think about a resource when we are stressed out. Where is our happy place to be? Or where is our place where we find peace or solitude? So for me, it is in the nature. Just think about being in the mountains. And the moment I think about visualize in my mind, I am already relaxed. In fact, once you start thinking about it, pay attention to that picture, put yourself there, and then take a few deep breaths. And as you start using your deep breaths, you can feel that, gosh, it's so calm. And then going back to tracking, you will track saying that, what are all the things I notice? Is it the blue sky? Is it the birds chirping? Or is it the weather? Then it grounds you much more on this one. So that's in terms of visualization. Yeah. Sometimes the visualization along with that, there may be a sense of unhappy feeling.
Yeah.
Happens, resourcing, yeah. Right? So then how do you get over that? Is you focus on the things that this was very good. So let me focus on this and the bad feeling, I'll pin it down for later and come back to it. Then you keep coming back to grounding again. And after two or three times you practice, it automatically, any one of these techniques will work for you.
I really like the way you tied that vein into the idea of they actually all, you can do them separately, but they all work very nicely together of grounding, tracking, and resourcing is like a loop that you can do.
Yeah.
I remember that when I learned about resourcing, they talked about the more detail you can put into your place.
Yes.
So for me, it's in Boston on a sailboat on the Charles River
in
fall with a little early fall breeze blowing.
All
and I
leaves.
Think of the colors,
oh,
I think
gosh.
Of the sounds and the wind and all, and it's just, it's a heavenly place to be.
Absolutely, yes.
Nice. Resourcing can also take you to somebody or something, not just a place.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And I remember many of our trainees have, they are alone in the city, but they have a dog or a cat that is their companion. They know that they are going to get home and this little being is going to be all happy for seeing them. And that can be the place where they think the resource that they use to get to connect to that emotion of peace.
This connects to our first episode about social domain.
Yes.
Right? So they connect to something that they, maybe their friends, their pets, any of that.
Their families.
So anything can be a resource.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to use that and say, okay, this is my resource.
So I think one of the neat things as we wrap up these pebbles is the idea that this is step one. This is the ability to calm a stressed or chaotic mind. Because as we move into the next module, the next episode, we're really going to be talking about mindfulness and meditation.
Nice. Yes.
And so in order to be in that place, you have to have gone through this step for many people.
Yes.
So very excited for the season ahead and this really, really fantastic topic. And I hope many people will get tremendous benefit from it.
This is going to be a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ripple's Physicians Wellbeing is made possible by the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine Office for Graduate Medical Education. To contact us or learn more about the Wellness Home, visit gmewellness.utesca.edu.
This podcast is inspired by the Dalai Lama's powerful quote, "Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects." We provide physicians with pebbles, tangible and actionable practices that can help make positive impacts in their personal and professional lives.